I am a millennial and like the music stand. I'm sorry. So, if you haven't noticed, the Lord took me through puberty for the second time this week on Wednesday night. And so, I effectively lost my voice, and this is an improvement. So, actually, I think that's God's grace to you, because I haven't taught since June, and most of the time when you haven't taught for a long time, that just means you get to talk about whatever the Lord has taught you for the last 6 months, and that's dangerous. But I'm excited to talk about the word of the Lord today. I'm especially excited about this passage. I can't enunciate, so bear with me, because it's my favorite part of Peter, to be honest with you, because I have a love for the local church in general. And what's interesting is that our series here is called Intersect, When Faith and Culture Collide. And interestingly, I would actually say that in so many ways, that this passage collides with Christian culture as much as anything else. Because as we were praying this morning, that all of us kind of have a different idea about what church should be and what church leadership should be and all these different things. But Peter here is gonna lay out for us what it means to be a church leader, what it means to be a church elder, what it means to shepherd the flock. And to that, I actually think that for a lot of us, this hits on some very tender places for us. Because honestly, does anybody in here not have church baggage? Right? And what I mean by that is, like, we have all in some way been wounded by the church. And most of the time, it's because of the people that stand up here or lead from a boardroom on Monday evenings. And for that, first of all, I want to say I'm sorry. Right? Because the other thing we have to remember, too, is that we're all fallen, that we're all sinful people, that we all struggle, and that's why we all have a Savior and a chief shepherd, right? And so let's go ahead and dive into 1 Peter chapter 5. You'll notice I didn't do slides for this, or at least I don't think I did. And the reason is because I actually want you to look in the Bible. And so if you don't have one with you, there's a black one in front of you, and it's on we're going to be on page 182 in there. And if you struggle to find it, go to the very back and turn to the left a few pages, and you'll find Peter. It's between Hebrews and Revelation. And then also, another caveat, sorry, I just am full of surprises today. I'm also going to use an ESV, so you might see a few differences, but nothing that's consequential to what we're going to talk about today. But let's begin. I actually want to start in the verse before chapter 5 starts, because I think that is huge for where we're going today. And I'm going to read through it, and then we'll walk through it together. And I have to also save my voice, and I have to remember that for second service. So we'll see how this goes. So chapter 4, verse 19. It says, "Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good." Verse 1, "So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourself, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Let's pray. Father, we come before you, and we are in need of you. As we already talked about, we all tend to have church wounds, and so many of them come from the fact that shepherds weren't shepherds, elders were not shepherds, but they were CEOs, or even that they were very passive men who were never willing to call us out of sin and into repentance and walking in faith. And so we pray that you would just be with us, encourage us by your love for us, that you would that you would lead us as the chief shepherd, Jesus, but you also use, as crazy as it is, sinful people just like us to lead us, to shepherd us into your presence. And so be with us now. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear all that you would have for us. In your name, pray. Amen. All right, so first we have to start with, all right, so why is Peter going to start talking, why is he going to start talking about elders right here? And really the reason is, begins in chapter 1. And I'll just read the very first couple passages of verse 1. Don't go there. Don't go there. Stay where you're at in chapter 5. I know everybody likes to do the flip game. Don't do that today. You just stay in 1 Peter 5. That is your home. Embrace it. Okay, so in the very first verse of 1 Peter, it says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles. That's huge. Because right there, already what Peter is doing in chapter 1 is he's saying, you are my people, but you're not home. And even what he's referencing in that is the fact that if you remember in the Old Testament, God leads his people out of bondage, right? He leads them out of Egypt. He saves them, and he crushes the enemies of Israel underneath the waters of the Red Sea, and then leads them around in the wilderness for 40 years before they get home. This passage that we're going through today is a direct reference to that, because the first thing we have to realize is that this is not our home. Okay? You are not home. Not only that, but so many times we think we are because we like the things of this world. We embrace them. We love them. Like today, I mean, who are we kidding? My favorite soccer team won 4-0 already this morning, and the Cowboys play at 2:40 today and are going to dominate the Green Bay Packers. But it's easy to find our hope and our joy in those things because something went right. But the truth is, man, those things are never going to satisfy us the way that being in the presence of the Father will. And so that brings us right here to chapter 4. So I'm even going to go back to last week a little bit, because then, if while we are elect exiles, we are also experiencing, as verse 12 says, do not be surprised by the fiery trials when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. If you're exiles, you're going to face trials and temptations. I mean, this land is not the perfect land. You are in the wilderness. So you're going to face trials. And so right here, when we get to this particular spot in 1 Peter 5, God makes a way, and he gives us people and shepherds to lead us through the wilderness like Moses. And this is hard, again, because so many of us are like, ugh, I can lead myself, thank you very much. I don't want those people to lead me. But the truth is, God in his grace, gives us people, gives us elders to lead us home, which is actually what I said the main point was. In the exile of this world, God uses under-shepherds to guide his flock home. I mean, that is what this passage is about. And really, to be honest, I'm speaking as much to elders in the next, 20 minutes as I am to anyone else. And everybody gets to hear who elders are supposed to be, what elders are supposed to do, and not only that, but then hold them accountable to that. Uh-oh. Right? And so let's go ahead and start off right there in verse 1. And it says, so I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you. Okay, shepherd doesn't really connect. I mean, who are we kidding? I don't go outside and have a flock of sheep that I'm going to lead, right? But the truth is, it's a great metaphor. And to put it in a little bit more today's language, and this is going to be imperfect, so when you decide to email me, here's my caveat. Think of a shepherd as a coach, a CEO, a counselor, a teacher, and a lot of other things, all together into one. Just a minor role, right? But that is what God has put in place to lead his church. People that can do all of those things. And why? He's done that because he wants to do a few different things. And the things that he wants to do are, he wants to take his flock somewhere, right? Because what shepherds, coaches, CEOs, etc. are trying to do is they're trying to accomplish something. And for the church, the shepherd, the elder that is over us, is trying to do Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. He gave some as apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, to build up the body of Christ, to attain the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning and craft, by craftiness and deceitful schemes, etc. Elders are here to take us somewhere, and one of the places that they're here to take us is to maturity in Christ. Right? To re-emphasize that, Colossians 1:23 says that him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. So you hear that? We proclaim Christ to present everyone mature in Christ. Acts 20:27 through 28, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church which he obtained with his own blood. Like, right, it's, hey, watch over them because I paid for it with my blood. Right? I mean, that makes it a minor detail. Do you see how important it is for the shepherds not just to gather Christians in and make sure you guys are happy, but to lead you somewhere to the maturity in Christ because he paid for you with his own blood. And then secondly, there's a place where he's leading us, not just a state, right? So maturity is like a state of being. He wants to grow us into the fullness of who he is, maturing us, just like we love Romans 8:28. God does all things for the good of the people who love him and are called according to his purpose. Well, we forget verse 29, that it says he's conforming us to the image of his son in the midst of that. But he's also taking us to a place, and the question becomes, where is he taking us with this maturity? And Exodus 15:13 does a great job, and it says, you have led in your steadfast love the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them by your strength to your holy abode. So in the midst of this desire for maturity, As God is doing this in our lives, there are fiery trials that come. But just like the Israelites in the desert, as they wander around searching, desiring water, and counting all these different trials, being disobedient, being dumb, etc., 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 right? Where are they going? They're going to the promised land. And just like the Israelites, God is growing us in maturity to look and be like him so that one day when we cross over in the promised land, we go, it was worth it. It was worth it. It was worth the wilderness. It was worth the fiery trials. It was worth the heat of the desert. It was worth being exiles because now I'm home. And this is better than anything I could ever ask or imagine. And so, I beg of you, remember this as you come up against frustrations in this world, frustrations in this time, application point number one, I guess. Hey, God is taking you home to a perfect world that his son paid for with his blood, that he might bring you into his heavenly abode, into the true promised land. Amazing, amazing, amazing. And so, we'll continue. And so I want to talk about how the shepherds, the elders of the church, actually get us there. And so right there in verse 2, it says, shepherd the flock of God that is among you. Well, then it talks about exercising oversight. And we'll get to those pieces in a minute. But first, we have to know how shepherds are supposed to do that and with what attitude. And so those are going to be my next 2 points. And the things that shepherds do first are knowing, feeding, leading and protecting their sheep, right? So knowing your sheep means that you have to be able to identify who is in the flock or in this congregation and relate to them personally. So elders, if you're in this room, which I know some of you are because I can see you right now, do you know your flock? Flock, do you know your elders? Do you know your sheep? Sheep, do you know your elders? Elders, do you know your sheep, right? Do you? Because if you don't, it's very hard to shepherd people unless you know them, unless you know what the Lord's doing in their lives, where they're struggling, where they need prayer. You don't know where they need love, care, and equipping to make them mature in Christ and to lead them home. Second was feeding. We need to feed the sheep, which means we need to engage in a robust pulpit ministry and encourage personal discipleship. So it's our responsibility to equip you for the work of ministry. Not only that, but also on Sunday mornings to encourage you in what Jesus has done on your behalf on the cross by dying for you and then raising again so that you might walk in faithfulness the rest of the week. And for the areas where you feel like you fall short, whether that is something like evangelism or, man, what does it mean to be the church, right? Which is part of what we're talking about today. What does missions actually mean? How do I study my Bible? How do I do these things? That encompasses all of what this feeding idea means. And so if those things are not happening, shame on us. We are not shepherding the flock that is among us. We are not equipping you to do the work of ministry. And so if that's not happening, hold us accountable. So if you come in here, and some of this is personal perspective and very subjective, right? If you don't feel like Jeff is actually preaching the gospel, which I know that's not true, you need to say something. That's your responsibility as the flock. You need to hold us shepherds accountable, and the fellow shepherds need to hold the teaching shepherd accountable. Third is leading. The sheep requires casting a clear, compelling vision for the direction of the church and exemplifying personal holiness. There are two ways that shepherds lead, either from the front or from the back. And when you lead from the front, then you're just kind of turning around, making sure that everyone's coming with you. And if you have to, you slap them with your little long cane and tell them to get back in line, basically, in a very loving way, right? But if you're driving them from behind, then you're forcing them somewhere. You're not leading them. And too often, there are shepherds, there are elders that lead from behind. They drive from behind. They don't lead. And so we need to lead, right? That means, too, that everybody in this room is in a different place. Not only that, but this service is in a different place than the second service because of the demographic difference. So our charge as elders and as shepherds and as leaders of the church is to understand where we are as a congregation and lead us all together, no matter the differences, to maturity in Christ and to home, to the promised land that God gives us. That's challenging. So in some ways, that requires the sheep to give grace to the elders when they fail, right? So that you can be led. For some of us, that means you actually have to just, you really need to listen. And you need to be willing to know that sometimes when you're being led, it might not be the way in which that you want necessarily. But this is not about preference. This is not about what I want. But it's where Jesus Christ, who has put people in place based on your election, to be quite honest, right? Because all of the people that are members in this room raise their hand and go, yes, I validate that person as an elder. You voluntarily, as we'll talk about later, submit to their eldership and allow them to lead you as the Lord is leading them. And then finally, protecting. Protecting the sheep means defending sound doctrine and practicing private as well as public church discipline. All right, we hate that D word, the discipline word. I love it. And I mean that in a certain way. Because again, the church baggage issues right there, this is a huge part of that, because so many of us have been unnecessarily rebuked in an unloving, uncareful, ungentle way. But the truth is, if you know that story, the parable that Jesus said, talks about, where you have the 99 sheep and the one that got away. That's not about evangelism. That's about the reality that one of the sheep has run away because they're in sin. They've run away from the flock voluntarily. They have gone, you know what, I think there's a better life. There's something I would prefer over there. And what Jesus is saying over there is that it's the shepherd's responsibility to go and grab that sheep and bring them back. Is that not the most loving thing a shepherd could do? That's what church discipline is. So most of the time, we don't like church discipline when we're in sin. But in the end, we'll look back and go, that was the Lord's grace in my life. And so what is the attitude in which we're supposed to carry these things out, right? Because I would say, actually, the easiest one, and we're going to read through the next couple parts of the passage, to have a terrible, terrible attitude on is the leading and protecting one. Because, you know what, that's when personalities and issues can really butt heads. And so let's look right there in verse 2, and I'll just finish reading that part of it. And it says, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight. Exercising oversight, right? How do you exercise oversight? Not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. God wants willing shepherds that want to care for and lead his people. He wants men that care for his sheep gladly, willingly, freely, and graciously. And just like it says, God loves a cheerful giver, he loves a cheerful elder too. So elders, are you cheerful in the reality that you get to shepherd the flock of God? Does that excite you? Does that wake you up in the morning in some ways? Do you love that? Or is it something you feel like you have to do? And I say this going, none of us wake up every day and go, man, I can't wait to dive into the messes of everyone's life. Awesome. Right? But is your overall attitude one of, I love the church of Jesus Christ. I love the people of Christ. I love his body. And I want to lead them and love them and care for them and know them and feed them and lead them and protect them. That's my call. Is that the attitude of the elder, the shepherd? Because it should be, right? Second, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, right? So I like to put it a little bit opposite. Eagerly, but not for shameful gain, right? So he wants it done with God-given motivation and with his own heart. God wants elders to shepherd with a God-given motivation and with his heart. To be quite honest, most of the time, if a lot of us have baggage from church leadership in the past, it's because many of those elders have wanted to be elders because they like the position. They like the authority. I'm not saying that across the board because I'm going to wound somebody deeply in this church. Who are we kidding? But if there's a general feel in a church and things that have been done wrong, it's because so often people do it because they're trying to gain something, whether it's a position, a title, a claim, etc. And when it's all about you, what are you going to do? You are certainly not going to know your sheep, because that means you actually have to be with them. But most of the time, if you're doing it for personal gain, you're just kind of standing off to the side and letting the church run, and you get to kind of just pull the strings from behind. That is for shameful gain. You're not feeding them the way you should. You're just doing it how you want to. You're talking about your favorite things, not leading the people and equipping them where they need it, where the flock needs it. You're not taking them where the flock needs it. You're taking them where you want to. That's not how this works. And so, again, sheep, keep the shepherds accountable to this. And if you know them, you'll know where their hearts are going, to where you won't have to question it. You'll know that they're not doing this for shameful gain, but they're doing it that you might know and love the Lord. And third, it says, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. Okay? Abuse of authority, the desire for power and control over others, or forcefully gaining mastery over others is what we're talking about here. And to be quite honest, if I struggle with them, it's this. That's just where I'm at. In fact, we had like this little pastors gathering on Friday night where there were a bunch of like-minded pastors from northern Mexico and here in southern Colorado, and we just gathered around and they go, what's your strength and what's your weakness? 20 of us in a room. It was awesome. Elders, we're going to invite you to come to this, by the way. And my strength in ministry is strategery. I love planning. I love figuring out how we can take over the world for Jesus. But in the midst of that, my weakness is I'm a driver. And so that means I can, if I get frustrated, I can domineer or I can lead from behind. Where's the gospel in that? Right? Where is that exemplifying what this passage is talking about? It's not. And so that's one of those things that the Lord, and like he does in all of us, is working in my heart and in my life to make me into the image of his son so that I might shepherd you with gentleness, with grace, with love, with patience. Because look, what we want for you is to know Jesus, love Jesus, and make it to the promised land. And the only way we'll do that is if we do it with an attitude of humility and love and care. And so, next, we'll finish up, we'll keep going, and we'll finish up with the elders, and then we get to talk about you. Congratulations. Verse 3, we'll finish verse 3 and move on to verse 4. So, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. I hate those kind of like verses that talk about the unfading crown of glory, because we might try and make them this real tangible picture and stuff. And when it says the unfading crown of glory, he's referring to a cultural thing in the ancient times where if you would win some sort of like Olympic race, they'd put this wreath on your head that was made of plants and it would fade. Right? And so what this is talking about is you'll get a crown of glory, but it won't fade. Okay? But again, to search that out, elders, to go, I'm going to go get that crown of glory. You've just made it some sort of legalistic thing where it's about your achievement, and not what God's achieving through you. Okay? That goes for all of you, though, right? So if you're trying to get crowns of glory, you know, rewards, all those kinds of things, you have it. His name is Jesus. Okay. But there is some sort of supernatural, amazing, beautiful crown of glory that Peter's talking about right here. And I think it has a lot to do with how in Hebrews it talks about, when it's talking about Jesus and his death and resurrection, it says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And so in so many ways, you're also thinking about being elect exiles waiting to get to the promised land. We are elders and shepherds that lead people through the promised land, which is not easy, by the way, right? It's not easy to be in the midst of 400 people's messes, right? But at the same time, at the end of that, God will sit down and go, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful to what I have given you. And here is your unfading crown of glory. I love you, which that's what we all want to hear. And so elders, when the going gets tough, persevere. Because God empowers you with his Spirit. He has already saved you and done all the work that needs to be done. And he will lead you and us home, because it doesn't rest on your shoulders or mine. It rests on what has been done in Christ. Okay. So now we get to talk about you, the flock. Have fun, right? All right, so I actually want to jump back up to verse 2 before I we finish up the rest of the passage. It says right there in verse 2, it says, shepherd, the flock of God is among you. The minor detail in that is that you are God's flock. Remember that. You are God's people. The Holy Spirit dwells in you if you believe in Jesus. And if you're not a believer here in this room, I would beg of you, consider the claims of Christ. Do you long for your sins to be forgiven, to feel no shame or guilt? Because Christ will set you free, because he rose from the grave after he took on Satan, sin, and death and defeated them. Do you want that? Do you long for that? Become a child of God today and become a part of the flock. So shepherd the flock of God that is among you. The minor detail too in that is among you. You have to actually know who the flock is to know who to shepherd. And so when we talk about partnership every, you know, 2 or 3 months, that is how we know the flock that is among us, the people that we need to shepherd. So if you're not a partner, but you call yourself a Christ follower in this room, but you believe in the gospel that's being preached here and the mission that the Lord has us on, please go to the next partnership class that's going to be here, because we want to know who our flock is so we can know how to shepherd them, so we can lead them home. That's why that's important. So if we know the flock that is among us, then in verse 5 it says, likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. And I'm going to stop again right there. If you're that younger, I mean, nobody knows what that means. And you might laugh, but seriously, you like look at the Greek and you look at all these commentaries, and because it's talking about elders, sometimes people go, well, it might actually be talking about people that are just sheep and the elders of the church, to make that distinction, elders and the flock, right? Or it's talking about elders and then the young people in the church who are always hard and strong-headed, like me. Congratulations, right? Because it's the young people that generally push back more because they're less patient to what the leadership or the eldership might be doing or saying. Nobody really knows. And so in a lot of ways, what we need to just hear here, for all of us, to be honest, is that we need to be subject to those in leadership, because as verse 19 says, God will entrust your souls to you need to entrust your soul to a faithful creator who has put leadership in place to lead and guide you home. And so to that, man, if you cannot follow our elders here at this church and you not trust the direction that the Lord is taking them in, then maybe you need to go somewhere else. Right? Because we all need to be under the leadership of the people that God has put in place to help us grow in Christian maturity and to take us through the wilderness home. And so again, if this is a place where you cannot, where you don't believe you can trust the elders, or you can trust the leadership, then we need to have a discussion, right? You need to talk with the elder and talk about your struggles, your issues, and those kinds of things, so we can just communicate about them. Or you need to go find somewhere where you can do that. Okay? Because again, if you can't follow, well, then you're not going to listen when we try and encourage you, love you, care for you, or even discipline you, right? And so please think about that. And if you decide this is the place you want to be, and again, if you aren't a part of us by being a partner or a member, however you want to say that, then come be a part of that partnership class, and if that's going to happen in a few weeks, so that we can know you, identify you, and plug you into the life and body of the church, so we can grow you up into the maturity of Christ. And then finally, and I think this is so important, it's right at the end, verse 5, "Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves," hear this, "all of you," three words, all of you, "with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble." If you're, the elders have not become some sort of spiritual awesome person, okay? And so when we're talking about shepherding and loving and eldering, it's not because you've reached some sort of spiritual plane that no one else has. It means that you have accomplished a set of qualifications that you can see in Timothy and Titus to be an elder, to shepherd the flock that is among you. But all of us need to submit to one another, to love one another, to have a humble heart toward one another, because we are all sinners saved by grace. One is not better than another. Elder is not better than the sheep, because we are all sheep. And the only way that we are going to accomplish the mission that God has us on is if we love one another, care for one another, and have humble hearts toward one another. And so my plea today is, will all of us recognize the wounds that we have, but then also recognize the truth and reality that Jesus has died for all of our sins. Elder, flock, sheep, shepherds, all of the identifying marks, Christ has died for all of us. And so as we extend humility toward one another, as we love one another, as we submit ourselves under the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ, miraculous things can happen in this church. And God can do amazing things in this city, in your lives, in your neighborhoods, in your workplaces, because you're becoming together who Christ desires us to be as the flock of God. How amazing is that? And not only that, but when that happens, it becomes attractive because people go, man, despite your differences, despite your disagreements, you humbly submit to one another and love one another in a way the world just doesn't, right? Because one of the huge things right now is everyone hates authority unless it's the authority they like, right? And if right now is not an example, oh man. But the church can transcend that, because the same spirit of God that is in one person over here is the same spirit of God that's in another person over here, that's in the 1045 service, that's in some of the gospel church people, right? I mean, it's the same spirit. We are one body. And if we can love one another and humble ourselves before one another, not thinking of ourselves as better than the next, then God can do amazing, amazing things, because he uses the body of Christ to accomplish his purpose in this world, not ours. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Father, we love you for your grace and for your mercy toward us in Jesus. We thank you that you give us your spirit to empower us, to unite us in our similarities and in our differences. We thank you that you use our differences in position and just our different lives to accomplish your purposes in our own hearts. You are making us into the image of your Son together, and you use each one of us to do that in the other's life. And so I pray that you would do that, that you would continue to do that. You would help everyone in this room to have humble hearts, to lead with humility, to follow with humility, and to follow our chief shepherd together with humility. So if you need to change our hearts, And if we have just different pieces of church baggage or questions or so on and so forth, I pray that each person would take an honest look at those, even to the point of talking with an elder about that. And then may you bring reconciliation, that we might move ahead together as one body, full force being led by our chief shepherd to accomplish your purposes here in Durango and around the world. So be with us now, and may we remember your grace and love toward us in Christ. In your name we pray. Amen.